TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It is a Friday night, and we are putting Better Late Than Never to the test here on this week's edition of Wednesday Night War. My name is Greg DeMarco. You can find me all over social media at ChairShotGreg, although I won't find you because I'm still in social media hiding. It's November 15th, which means I'm on day 15 of my social media vacation, I guess is what you would call it. I don't know. I still check in. I deleted it off my phone, and it's been gone ever since. Wednesday Night War is brought to you as part of the ChairShot Radio Network, which you can hear exclusively at thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Pick up your very own ChairShot t-shirt. Great designs like ChairShot Brewery, Jesus Did the Job, hashtag journalism, and so much more. Get them in the soft style. We don't make extra money, but we want you to be comfortable, and that's just how we do. Look, I'm not even wearing a ChairShot t-shirt, but it's still in soft style. I've been converted 100% by the queen herself. And I also have a theme song.
I'm an outlaw.
I'm an outlaw.
Quick on the draw.
Quick on the draw.
Something you never seen before.
You've never seen.
And I dare a motherfucker to come in my face. I got something chrome.
I got something chrome.
And I got it from home.
And I got it from home.
And it ain't a microphone.
It ain't a mic.
And I dare a motherfucker to come in my face. It's so real. How I feel.
That's me. I have my own song, but someone else has her own song, too. You can find her all over the social media at Look, It's Brittany. It's Brittany Nicole.
Hello. We're here on a Friday. Yes.
We have lives.
Love that I have. Give it to me now.
Courtesy of our close personal friend, Keith Sweat. That is, of course, the theme song for Brittany Nicole.
Yes, indeed. Oh,
couldn't
so
hold us
good.
Down. Could yeah. not be held down. And it's a Friday. No one has to work tomorrow. No one has to do anything, which means we got all the time in the world.
We could.
We can do this show Everybody. All night long.
Oh, yes, we could. Come on and sing along.
Oh man, if this were a video show.
All night long. Yeah. Once you get started.
Oh man, there was like over a year ago. I went nuts with music, and we had like a Lionel Richie episode of the Greg DeMarco show, which led to other artists, and I should bring back all the old school songs. It was very time consuming, but lots of fun.
I would be down for that. I would be so down for that. I mean, I'm still thinking that we should like hone this video and like sell it on Patreon or something for like your avid like fans of anything Chair Shot. Like, I mean, you guys are missing quality content when it comes to everything that
we're
passing back and forth here. So
that's 100% the truth. So if you don't know what this show is about, I mean, yeah, we have fun. We joke, we laugh, we play with stuffed animals, we dance. I don't dance. Brittany dances. But we talk about the Wednesday Night Wars, or the perceived Wednesday Night Wars, between All Elite Wrestling, AEW Dynamite, and WWE NXT. And we just have a lot of fun doing it, because this is the greatest time ever to be a wrestling fan. I appeared on the WrestleTalk podcast on Wednesday night, and you can see that at WrestleTalkPodcast.net. And we just had a lot of fun talking about it. One of the questions they asked me about was how crazy 2019 has been. And here we sit, November 15th, we record this, and 2019 has been nuts. It's been crazier than I think anyone could have expected. And I expected it to be crazy. You know, Patrick and I had a saying, you know, 2019, man, like, we knew it was going to be nuts because we knew AEW was coming. But who knew that NXT would be on television? Who knew that you know, you and I would be doing, A, this podcast together, and B, the other things that we're doing that in the world of professional wrestling? You know, it's yeah, who, like we knew some of those things, but not all of them. So,
no, it's insane. I mean, 2019 has really just exploded. I mean, I personally can't wait for 2020 because it's, I mean, everything's going to start forming and all the cogs in the wheels are going to be greased up even more because things will be rolling even longer. But even, you know, I mean, this is Wednesday Night War, so we're obviously going to talk about AEW and NXT, but like, then you also have like NWA came back, like Impact came back with a new time slot and new things.
Station,
like,
new channel.
Then,
yep.
Yeah. You have a little bit of everything that kind of just shifted. And it is such an amazing time for wrestling because there's a plethora. If you don't like something, you will find something you do like.
I mean, what's going on this year is literally great for everybody. Unless you're Ring of Honor.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Poor, poor Ring of Honor.
We should have a moment of silence for Ring of Honor.
That's how we end the moment of silence for Ring of Honor. No, it really is an amazing year. It's funny because you talk about 2020. People look at 1997 as one of their favorite years. I mean, the Attitude Era was born. So much happened. That was because of 96 when the NWO appeared on Nitro and completely changed. So this could be our 1996, which means next year could be our 1997, and 2021 could be our 1998. Like, we're here. Like, we're at the beginning of it. Like, it's not, you know, we got a couple years of amazing things yet to come.
As long as we just skip over, like, 99 and 2000, we'll be fine.
Well, 99 was pretty good on the WWE side of things.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about everything else.
Yeah, well, you know, it's bound to happen, right? I mean, that's just how the world works. We all know how the story ends.
Then we're going to have to change this podcast.
Yeah, right? That's okay, though. We're smart enough to do that because we always use our head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
The Adam Cole boom at the end of that.
Yeah, that was good. See, you guys are missing all of this. If you joined us on Patreon, which we don't have yet.
If you joined us on something that you can't join us on, that would be amazing.
If you a Patreon for us so that we don't have to deal with any more social media.
Yeah, and I got to figure out how to record the video. But besides that, you know. I know there's a way.
Sailing.
There's
yeah.
a way. It's Google Hangouts. There's a way to do it, so. So let's talk about this week's editions of NXT and AEW Dynamite. I'm going to be honest with you, and I took some notes as I was watching the programs, especially about AEW, because I don't really need to take notes about NXT, but, calling a spade, this was probably my favorite episode of Dynamite to date. It had slow points, as did NXT. But there were some, like, the high points were really, really good. Like, there was another good match between Adam Page and Pac. I'm glad Pac won, because I think one of the things that his run on Dynamite so far is that I think Paige, who's relatively young, he's like 26 or 27 or 28, still needs a little more time before he's quote-unquote top of the card. Like, I just, it's just something's not quite there yet. I don't know what it is. But he'll get there. I'm fully confident that he'll get there. But it seems like Pac has won that, and now, I mean, what do we think is next for these two guys? Like, where do you go with Adam Page and Pac after the rubber match and then, you know, Pac coming out on top?
I mean, I really haven't kept score of their win-lose count personally on each of them. I forgot to look at it. But, I mean, Pac coming out, I mean, that's the thing. Is like, he already, ideally, has already always been, I mean, at the top of the card in any roster he's been on, honestly. He's a phenomenal, phenomenal performer. Like, he's a great wrestler. Just in it, and I think him being able to kind of just be himself and be who he is on Dynamite has really flourished and made him even more, like you said, I agree. Paige is young. Paige is not as polished. Paige kind of, like, he has his set gimmick, he has his set idea, but I also don't think that's fully fleshed out, you know? It really is still kind of very rough around the edges, and I want to see them kind of not wrestle each other for a bit. I want to see Paige not necessarily get into feuds with another person or have like a whole different shift in storyline, but I think he needs to have a little bit of a cool down moment before they do another build up with Pac. I think he needs to, you know, I think Pac's better can be utilized somewhere else, maybe even for somebody that's even a little bit newer than Paige to bring them up to the main roster. I mean, I feel like that's what those veterans are there for in any locker room, is to help raise new talent and to help pursue these different storylines with new faces to keep everything interesting and going.
I will say, Adam Page is onto something with one thing, though. Like, he's definitely got something going with this.
That is my favorite part.
Yes.
That part, yes. That was one of my notes. Like, literally, one of my notes written down was literally just the words cowboy shit. Like, that's all that was written down at one point. Like, when I made notes about AEW is cowboy shit. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's a thing.
That's a thing. That's a hook. That's a hashtag. That's a
t-shirt. Darty is a t-shirt.
That's a soundbite. That's his Austin 316. Like, that's
exactly
his cowboy shit.
Yeah.
You know, that's his thing.
So I think there's definitely some, that's got some legs to it, and he'll be good. I love to see him in like a mid card feud now, maybe with like Sean Spears or somebody like that. Just let him shine. Let him carry something. And really develop. Pac, you know, I disagree. I think they're going, I could see them even moving to maybe like Pac and Omega or something like that. Like, I think Pac needs something at the top now, because he really should. He should be one of their top guys. And he's got to do, you know, top guy shit. So everybody's going to do shit now from now on. So
everybody does shit.
Top guy shit, cowboy shit, Le Champion shit. Just everybody shit.
Love it.
But I did love that and love where they're going with that. I mean, to me, Wednesday was, I guess it's hard to call it a coming out party because I think everybody who AEW attracts already knew, but this was MJF's coming out party. Like, he is ready. I think he's higher on the card right now than like an Adam Page is in AEW.
Oh.
Just a brilliant exchange with him and Jericho.
that was left with nothing. But what I loved was the fact that he's not joining the Inner Circle, because who needs to at this point? Like, it wouldn't do him any good. But putting Wardlow with MJF and waiting, you know, teasing him with some vignettes and then having him out there for the attack, like, they're really setting up MJF well. And I kind of hope he quote-unquote wins the feud with Cody, and I think a feud with Cody can do no wrong for anybody. He's one of the best performers. He's not one of the best wrestlers in the world, but he's one of the best performers in the world. And I think it's going to put MJF over big time, and it's going to do wonders for his eventual WWE career. But he's just in a great, great spot, and I loved what they did. Loved what they hit there. What did you think of the whole MJF, Chris Jericho, Cody, Wardlow, all of it thing?
I tip my hat to the people who set that up, and for them setting that up, it was beautiful. First of all, I have gushed over MJF since the beginning. Just his ability on the mic. If you've never heard, like, he does commentary for AEW Dark.
Mm-hmm.
He's on commentary, and oh my god, that man's commentary. He is just a natural at all of it. Like, if his wrestling skills get finally honed to the way he speaks on the mic, he is going to be a dangerous. I mean, he's already a dangerous man, but, like, holy shit, he's going to be a dangerous man. Just triple threat kind of style, you know, being able to do commentary or interviews and then also be a heel and then wrestle and then do all the, like, it's mind blowing. And his character is just fantastic. He was born for it. Him and Jericho just feeding off of each other. I do have to say, Jericho's always been a natural on the mic, you know? And so for them to go back and forth, like, it was great. Again, I mean, you know, like, they said it in the promo of, like, Jericho saying he wants to be like a mini him. He kind of is. He really is a mini Jericho.
And but they didn't.
It's great to.
But not sticking him with Jericho is really smart. And
correct, I agree, because, like, that's the thing is, one, he doesn't need Jericho.
No.
And two, like, we don't need any more people in the Inner Circle.
Yeah, because then it's not so inner anymore. It's kind of more of an outer circle at that point.
Right, it's like what happened to NWO, where, like, right? All of a sudden everybody was in NWO. Like,
yeah, Inner Circle already doesn't make sense. So why make it make even less sense? Although I could see, like, what, you know, if they keep them apart for a long time, and then, you know, the Inner Circle's run its course, like, you could definitely do kind of have your own Jericho, Kevin Owens vibe with Jericho and MJF. A year
That's
from
exactly
now,
what I was thinking.
2 years
I instantly
from now.
Like, I put, like, MJF's face on Kevin Owens' body, like, in my mind for a second when we were just when you were talking
weird.
About it. So, yeah, it was weird. It was not
chiseled face weird. On this non-chiseled body.
Yeah, no. Nope.
Somebody
weird.
Needs to make that for us and send it to us. But I love it. I love what they're doing. I think, you know, everybody's in a great direction. But then Chris Jericho goes and does something that I know you're excited about without even talking to you about it. I know I'm excited about it. He takes his first loss in AEW by eating the pinfall in a tag team match to Scorpio Sky. I mean,
I'm so happy.
How perfect was it? Like, everyone assumed Sammy Guevara was going to eat the pin, or it was going to be just a big old CF finish with you know, Jake Hager getting involved and Christopher Daniels getting involved, and then your typical end of Dynamite brawl. And that didn't happen. Instead, Scorpio Sky scores the pinfall over Chris Jericho, and I'm 100% here for that. 100% here for that.
I agree. One, I mean, if anybody listens to anything that I say, obviously we both of us have gushed about Scorpio Sky, so, like, we can make an entire podcast about that. But I also just think it's one of those things of, one, it's a great tip of the hat, Jericho letting himself, because, I mean, that's the thing, is, like, at this point in his career, he doesn't have to let them do anything. You know, he's part of the
right.
writing team or construction of the matches and storylines and yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, he could write it however he wants it. So that shows that he has a lot of respect for Scorpio. And two, it was the thing that we were least likely to expect. So
yeah.
I'm really glad that they thought that far ahead and was like, let's give them something nobody's going to expect. Because again, like you said, we're so used to at this point, you know, what, 5-6 weeks in?
Six, I think, seven now.
To AEW is we're very used to brawls. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of brawls, and there's been a lot of like either count outs or disqualification or like very confusing endings to matches where no one wins. I think it was a great point, and I tip my hat to them. This I agree. This was the best AEW that I have seen, and
which of
like
course
I said,
you know, no coincidence that there was no Young Bucks match on it. Just kidding.
No, you're right. You are completely right. I don't like the Young Bucks. People are gonna hate me for that. But guess what? I love Orange Cassidy, and I don't like the Young Bucks. There you go. You can now follow or unfollow Brittany Nicole at Look at Brittany.
At Look at Brittany.
On all social media.
And she won't care. No? Yeah, because, and I'm, you know, I don't love Orange Cassidy, but I don't hate Orange Cassidy either. But yeah, I love that. Here's the great thing that this does, because AEW, I'd be shocked if this doesn't set up a title shot for Scorpio Sky on television here in the next few weeks. I mean, why else do you do it? Now, I don't expect Scorpio Sky to win the AEW World Championship in that match, but, and depending on the city, like, that could be one of the most crowd-involved matches they have, because people will be all about every near fall that Scorpio Sky gets on Chris Jericho. And, because Scorpio Sky, in a recent interview, even called himself a 17-year overnight sensation, because that's how long he's been doing this. It could be one of the highest profile moments of his career, which is sad because he's so damn good. But just, you know, every near fall, everything, like that match could be a match of the year quality affair if they do it right. Build it just for a week or two. You don't want to, something like that, you don't want to wait too long on. You're not going to do it on pay-per-view.
Right.
So build it over a week or two, put it on TV, TV main event, give it a ton of time, and let those guys go and just let Scorpio go nuts and let him get those, you know, 2.999 pinfall attempts. And then Jericho either cheats to win or gets DQ'd or something like that happens. And then you're off. You're off to the races on it. So I'm excited for that possibility. And it's just the right guy to do it with. Like, there's no better guy on the roster to do that with than Scorpio Sky.
Yeah, it is. It's so great. And coming off of the pay-per-view, I mean, this is the thing. It's like they did what I said the last podcast is saying that the, you know, viewership would be higher and whatnot because it is known that built into our DNA from the beginning of watching wrestling time is that the show right after a pay-per-view is one of the hottest shows coming off of a pay-per-view. And they did it. They did it right. You know, some people
really
were saying that they weren't going to go in so hot because they're like, well, a lot of their roster's hurt now, or, you know, they're going to do something completely different and not, you know, not go so heavy and so hardcore right after the pay-per-view. And no, they did the right thing and came in swinging. Yeah.
They really did. And it comes after a full gear that many have kind of said, it's almost like their TV's getting better while their pay-per-views aren't.
Yes.
And I actually really loved Fyter Fest. I thought Fyter Fest was good. I enjoyed Fight for the Fallen. Like, they were good shows. They didn't overthink them, I think, was a big part of it, whereas All Out and Full Gear, they tend to overthink. I mean, it's just, and it's, they just need to get out of the whole, you know, smarky insider stuff. Like, Full Gear was literally named after a criticism of Adam Page, that he couldn't show up for a promo in Full Gear like Pac could, or Pat could, and we don't need that. You don't need that kind of stuff if you really want to grow your market share and grow your business and what you're doing. But they had it. It's probably not going to have the next pay-per-view till like February, March, maybe even April time frame. So this middle story with Scorpio Sky and Chris Jericho, I actually, you know, for the first time, was getting into something that Darby Allin was involved in. I really liked the way he, after his match, told John Moxley he accepts the challenge that kind of John Moxley laid out, since they did the Moxley promo where he was waiting for someone to accept and no one did, and then Darby does later. I think that can be entertaining. There's just a lot. I think there's some good things coming up for them. I'll be honest with you, based on what happened, you know, some of the things that went on at Full Gear, I wouldn't hate a Young Bucks Rock and Roll Express match. I really wouldn't. Like,
I wouldn't hate that, because that's the thing is, like, one, the Rock and Roll Express can still go. I've seen it firsthand. They can still go. They can still do their thing. Mm-hmm. They know how to go through the motions. And they're killer. I mean, they hype the crowd up so well. They hype the crowd up so well. And then, of course, I mean, the AEW fans love the shit out of the Young Bucks.
Sure do.
So, I mean, that would be a very crowd-oriented match as well. I think that people would be screaming and standing and for both teams. So, I mean, I think that would be one of the ones that I would actually watch of the Young Bucks.
And the one thing I will say about their match at Full Gear, that was like the least spotty I've seen the Young Bucks in a long time. Had a lot to
That's
do with their opponents.
Of who they were going against. Yeah.
And it was more told a story. I think the right team won. It was weird because Nick Jackson was more of the face in peril than Matt Jackson, which I think worked. And yeah, for me, I was okay with that. Now we get the Bucks and Strong Hearts on Dark this week and whatever, that's fine. But it's again, if this were a video show. But yeah, it's I just think that for AEW, for a company that has shown they don't really know what they're doing in terms of storytelling and some other things, I thought they did a good job of it this week on Dynamite. And we'll see what they can maintain. You know, we'll see where they go from there. So,
you know what I was really happy with on Dynamite this week is that the women's match was, I enjoyed it. I was very happy because
it didn't
my
suck.
My girl Dani Jordan was on. I love Dani. She's worked for Elevate a couple times, and she is out of Georgia. She works for DDP Yoga during the day.
Really?
And then she wrestles around all over the South, and I think she's traveled up north and stuff too, of course. But yeah, she was on and against Nyla Rose, and it was just, one, it was so good to see her. I was like, I know her. And then it was also like so good to see how well she sold so well for Nyla. And then, you know, she really did good at having, like, I don't consider it such a squash match, but I mean, it was a good match. And then, of course, you know, I mean, Kong is looking amazing.
Yeah, she really is. She really
oh my
is.
Goodness. She looks, I mean, she looks the best. Like, I can't wait to see her get in the ring. Honestly, she looks so good. I want to see a one-on-one match with her and anybody, honestly.
And she's probably going to be, I mean, if I were them, I would have her be the one that eventually takes a belt off of Riho. Just let her completely run through Riho and just be that dominant champion. They did it in TNA, and I don't care. Do it again. It worked. And it would work again. And and I would be 100% down with it. And just start using some of their women. Like they finally did something with Allie, so that made me happy because she's one of the most over and talented women they have. And it's just time. Yes. Time to start doing things.
Brandy's
with
haunted women. Still.
Yeah, whatever. That's stupid.
Brandy's still the witch from Passions.
Anybody who knows. Witch from Passions. Oh my goodness. And, but the thing I don't like about Haunted Brandy is that we all know she's the chief branding officer. We all know she's Cody's wife, so it just doesn't make sense for her to be haunted. But, you know, do it with somebody else. Like, and that's the other thing too. You don't need the character, you're Brandy Rhodes. Give that character to somebody else. She didn't need it, but
I'm waiting for like there to be a board meeting and then Cody just to all of a sudden just pull out like holy water and start trying to exorcise her.
just temporarily so she can conduct a board meeting and then she can go back to being haunted. So that's the only thing I don't like about Haunted Brandy Rhodes is that we know too much. And so it makes it hard for that to be believable for a lot of people. But, you know, whatever. It's on the undercard. So before we transition and talk a little bit of NXT, Interesting for next week, though, they've already announced, I believe it's Rey Fénix, will be going one-on-one with Nick Jackson. And so we got a young buck in a singles match. And I think, and Nick Jackson is actually...
What?
And he's actually one of the best cruiserweights around. So mm-hmm. in a singles match. I think that it's going to be, you know, don't sleep on that one. I think that's going to be a hell of a match for, I believe, Dynamite next week. So, yeah, be excited. Be excited for that and some other things that they've got going on. Before we transition over to NXT, let's just take a quick look at this week's ratings.
Shut your dumb mouth.
As we do every week, Brittany, give us the lowdown on the ratings war this week between AEW Dynamite and WWE NXT.
Yes, I will give you the rundown. So for the ratings war against AEW and NXT, it is, fuck the ratings.
Say that again?
I said, fuck the ratings.
That's right. We don't need no ratings. Come on now. It's ratings. Pfft, who cares? Whenever I hear people talk about ratings, I'm just like,
would you shut the hell up?
It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Used to matter, doesn't matter. There's so many different ways to watch these programs. Makes no difference. But we are going to transition to NXT this week. It's weird because NXT is having to help build and promote two different events. You know, Raw and SmackDown, it's full speed ahead for Survivor Series, but for NXT, you've got Survivor Series and you've got TakeOver and TakeOver War Games. And we saw a lot of things shift this week on the road to War Games. The men's side of War Games, obviously you've got Undisputed Era. They had to take Matt Riddle out because Gargano can't go. So now we got Riddle and Finn Balor going one-on-one to take over War Games, which means they added Dominik Dijakovic to the Tommaso Ciampa's team, which we all expected to happen at War Games. But now we still need one more person on that team, because you've got Dijakovic, you've got Keith Lee, and you've got Tommaso Ciampa, but Riddle's out, and so it's still 3-on-4. So let's just start there. Who do you think, because obviously they got to tell us next week, because then it's War Games, who do you think is going to be the fourth member of Tommaso Ciampa's team at War Games?
You know, they could do a total swerve and either pull somebody that's either recently been cleared. I don't know what the recently been cleared roster of men look like. But they could pull somebody even from Raw or SmackDown that is an NXT alum.
Yeah.
And I kind of was leaning towards Seth Rollins coming back and doing something.
Right.
But also, I think they might just throw somebody like... I mean, honestly, they could throw anybody from NXT in there, but I think they might just throw somebody random. I mean, they could throw Angel Garza, they could throw Umberto, they could throw... The list goes on and on.
Because I think we're getting Angel Garza and Leo Rush again, because Garza lost with his feet under the ropes, and so that seemed to set up a rematch with Garza and Rush, which would be... I mean, that was basically a takeover quality match that they had to kick
off
NXT this week. It's kind of a match that, you know, when a lot of times people say, oh, that match was, you know, could have been 5 minutes shorter. This match could have been 5 minutes longer, 10 minutes longer, easily. It would have been fine. I loved Garza taking off the pants in the crowd right in front of Leo Rush's wife. Like, that was just so well done. But I think you answered the question when you said there could be some kind of a swerve involved. I think the last member of Tommaso Ciampa's team is going to be Isaiah Swerve Scott. I just think he's got that momentum. I think they want to fast track him a little bit. He's getting wins everywhere, unless he's going against somebody bigger like a Roderick Strong, or, you know, when he gets a title shot on 205 Live, that kind of thing. Got the big victory over Bronson Reed this week on NXT, and it's like, who has the upward mobility? And this whole takeover team is interesting, because it's like all these guys' first takeovers with, you know, Keith Lee, with Dominik Dijakovic, and could be with Swerve Scott. It's just a great way to build them, because War Games is going to have all the attention, all the focus, and these guys can really kind of break through and break out in a match like that. So that's who I'm going with. My pick is Swerve. I think Chicago's going to be Swerve's house when War Games comes around. One thing we did learn on Wednesday night is who the fourth member is of Shayna Baszler's War Games team, and it was no one that we guessed.
No, not at all. I'm not going to lie, like, as much as I love NXT, I most of the time forget about NXT UK, and I'm a bad person. I'm a very bad person.
And they're trying to fix that for us, and they're trying to keep showing us who's there and who's available. And Kaylee Ray, of course, you know, helped Io Shirai win, and it wasn't Dakota Kai turning heel. It wasn't anything like that. It was Kaylee Ray, and she is the fourth member of Shayna Baszler's team for War Games. And I love it. I think it's a great way to give her an opportunity to shine, and it's just another big step. I mean, they're really using this takeover to showcase different people, and which is what they've been doing since NXT hit the airwaves, and I think it's great. I'm excited about it. So, I guess let's go back a little bit and jump back into War Games. So, what do you think? Dominik Dijakovic joining the War Games team, how they did it with him, clearing house against Undisputed Era, you know, after he hasn't really been around since the Triple Threat match, which is only like 2 weeks ago. But it's really been all about Keith Lee in terms of who's been getting elevated by this whole Survivor Series storyline. And then all of a sudden, there's Dijakovic coming back and being a big, big part of it all. What do you think?
I think it's one of those things of, like, where Keith Lee is going to be, Dijakovic is going to be. Because their matches have been fantastic. I could watch them wrestle any day of the week. And to have them on the same team is great. Again, I will always want them to be pitted against each other, but you're going to get a spectacular show. They know how to work against each other, which means they know how to work together. So it's going to be a great team. Like, it was smart for them to put him on. And so even though they've been elevating Keith Lee for this whole Survivor Series thing, for more games, stuff like that, it doesn't matter, because in order to elevate Keith Lee, what elevated him was his matches with Dijakovic. So it only seemed right for them to have Dominik on there, because he's the next powerhouse. He's the other elevation that they're, I mean, that's the thing, is NXT is literally right now, probably at any given point, elevating between, you know, 8 to 10 new stars, like, at the same time.
Yeah, they're building a brand.
That's unheard of in any other kind of, like, I mean, that's the thing, is even on Raw and SmackDown, you know, we've seen it from countless times that if one of their main stars get injured, it ruins an entire storyline that they've been building.
Whereas NXT, it's like, oh, it's okay, here's this other guy. So, you know, here's somebody from the UK. It's okay, we got it.
Yeah, and it doesn't skip a beat. And again, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And their method of storytelling and flow and building up all of these people at the same time, so that if something happens, they have something else to fill that slot that you're already involved in and already know about.
You know,
perfect.
I just realized I'm totally wrong about the Swerve thing. It's not going to be Swerve, because, and this is, again, out of sight, out of mind. I've been saying this person's going to be on the War Games team all along, and then I completely forgot my own thing.
Velveteen Dream. Hit it.
I mean, save for an actual injury, it's Undisputed Era that took the guy out. I mean, it makes perfect sense. I can't believe I forgot about that.
How could you forget about the Dream, even though I didn't even say it either? But I'm going to pretend that I didn't make a decision. So, I mean, I just named off multiple people. So
that's right. And somewhere in there was, I mean, it doesn't matter. The Dream doesn't recall that. So it doesn't matter at all.
Yeah.
But no, that's probably, and just I mean, the reaction he's going to get when he makes that return, like, it's going to be the typical.
I hope there's a bunch of people wheeling him out of the couch.
I mean, it was the Undisputed Era that took him out. It makes perfect sense for him to be the guy to round out that team. And maybe that means Dijakovic wasn't going to be in the match. And it, you know, since Matt Riddle was in it before, and then Dream was going to be the fourth guy that they announced. Who knows? We won't know because Gargano got injured, and this is going to be the first takeover without Gargano in quite some time as well. And, you know, we'll still get Gargano and Balor at some point, and it'll all
I'm
be
okay with that, great. Though, because it's one of those things of I feel like Gargano and Balor, I don't think the story's fully fleshed out yet.
Yeah.
It's still kind of new. I think they could build, I mean, that's the thing. I know he's going to be out for a minute, but I do think that they could build it a little bit longer. It could be a more anticipated.
And I wonder if this was kind of the thing all along, because since NXT hit USA Network, Gargano hasn't really been a thing. Like, correct. He's had the match with Shane Thorne and a promo, and then, of course, the interaction with, you know, with Undisputed Era that became the attack by Finn Balor. It almost seems like they weren't sure if he was going to be able to go, or if they knew he was injured and were stringing it out before they took him out for a little bit. He just hasn't been a big focus of, and he's like Mr. NXT at this point. And, you know, right. He's the lifer. He's Sting for NXT, as some people have talked about. And yet, you know, he wasn't a big focus of the brand when it first debuted on USA Network, which didn't make any sense. And I wonder if maybe there's been some lingering issues and it's just time for him to take that time off, which is fine. They got tons of talent, and then he can still get the big reaction when he comes back. Yeah, there's just so much. I mean, TakeOver War Games is going to be insane.
Yes.
Haven't even talked about, you know, Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, and Damian Priest. That's probably going to be a match at TakeOver War Games. Angel Garza and Leo Rush in a rematch. You've got Finn Balor and Matt Riddle, and you got the two War Games matches. Like, that's five matches right there. So.
And it's, you know, and honestly, that's going to be, like, I am so pumped. Like, I'm going to watch Survivor Series, obviously, you know, and I'm going to keep in watching Raw and SmackDown to keep up to date on things. But, like, what I avidly enjoy watching right now is, like, I watch AEW just to see how it's blooming and transforming. But I avidly enjoy NXT every single moment, and like War Games is going to be so good. Like, even it's going to be like a WrestleMania. Like, it's like to me, and personally, when it comes to the matches itself, like, it's WrestleMania worthy in my mind of like the setup of the matches and who's going against who. Like, it's things I really want to watch. It's things that are building that I really am enjoying. And the women's War Game is going to be, if it's anywhere close to this ladder match that happened, the women's War Game is going to be brutal, because Io Shirai and Mia Yim, oh my goodness, did they tear it down and then destroy everything and then bleed all over the place and then still somehow, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen it, whatever, then Mia still shows up on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. She's like bruised ribs, busted face. Don't care. Showing up.
Nor should she. The way they've built her up with, you know, being from the mean streets of Santa Clara, wherever she's from.
HBIC.
That's right. So she's not going to. Speaking of HBIC, that's the guy's in charge right there. Meerkat appearance for anybody, for those watching at home, which is no one.
Maurice.
No one can watch, yes. It's the show pet. He's the third member of our team. Didn't speak. Yeah, it's just going to be insane. Next week is the go-home show for War Games and for Survivor Series. Quick question unrelated to, not, I mean, it is related to NXT, but unrelated to NXT. We know that Daniel Bryan is, you know, going to be challenging Bray Wyatt and The Fiend at Survivor Series. We know that Rey Mysterio is going to be challenging Brock Lesnar. Everybody in the Undisputed Era except Adam Cole are involved in those triple threat matches at Survivor Series. Is Adam Cole going to be involved in Team NXT, or is Adam Cole going to defend his NXT championship just like the other champions are? Because it doesn't make sense for the Raw, for the WWE champion and the Universal champion to be defending their titles, but Adam Cole to not be defending his at Survivor Series.
That is true. I would say yes. I would say probably because WWE still thinks of NXT not as fully a top tier. I would probably be on the pre-show.
Maybe.
Or close to the opening. Or maybe like one of the middle intermission, quote-unquote intermission matches.
I don't think it would be that, because here's the thing, dude. This is in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I keep forgetting it's in Chicago.
The crowd favorites, the baby faces in this, at least how the crowd are going to be all the NXT stars. They are going to be NXT lifers at this show. And so it'll be one of the loudest Adam Cole babies we've ever heard.
It's going to be like that in stereo.
Right? Instead of mono or whatever this is. So... yeah, it's gonna be great. So but part of me is like, there's already 8 matches. You've got the Survivor Series matches. You got all these triple threat matches. Ray and Brock probably isn't gonna be that long. So it's like, okay, there's possibilities. I have this fear that it's not gonna happen. That Adam Cole's gonna be left off the card.
Here's the thing is I think he's gonna be part of Team NXT.
And that's just so weird to have him not be with Undisputed Era.
But wait. Here's the twist. Here's the M. Night Shyamalan bullshit.
Oh, wait. Hang on.
Here's the twist.
We got the twist.
I think him being part of Team NXT, I think whoever he's part of the team with, I think something could possibly happen during Survivor Series that causes a setup to then further continue into NXT, where whoever he has that setup with will then challenge him for the championship.
Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
That's what I think. Because I think, again, like you said, there's 8 matches already, and who knows what else they're going to filler with. That's just, because they always do add those last minute matches either to the pre-show or like in between, stuff like that. So you don't know...
You could see the tag one on the kickoff anyway. We could see that one on the kickoff. Yeah. I don't think we'll see the women on the kickoff because you got Becky in there. But still, you put the tag one in the kickoff. Now you got 7 matches on the main card. You could still fit, an Adam Cole title defense. It kind of depends on who's on Team NXT as well, because there's going to be people left over. And so you could set something up pretty quickly throughout the next week. But yeah, it's gonna be really, really interesting. What did you think of Bayley showing up and the attack on NXT this week? Nice little surprise.
I think it was good. This is gonna be so crass, but it's the first word that it's the first thing that popped in my head because of the shirt she was wearing. I was like, oh my god, Bayley has titties.
I mean, you can get away with saying that. I can't.
I'm just saying, I'm so used to seeing her in her ring gear. I'm not used to, or baggy shirts. So it was disarming to me. I was like, oh my God. But I really did enjoy, seeing that. Again, she's an NXT alumni, so she has ties to them, but also now that she's the champion for SmackDown, she has that. So it's great. And it's also great that it wasn't a full on brawl invasion attack again. Like we were saying in the previous one of you can keep having these little, but it's nice to have just one person show up and single out somebody and attack them, or have these little things. So it's not a continuous pounding of oh, we're going to get a gang of people over there and then a gang of people over here. And then all of a sudden it's the Jets and the Sharks and it's West Side Story all over again. And it's just back and forth. So it's nice to have her just show up and lay the beat down and kind of make it known that she's going to be more dominant. Again, they're still also pushing the fact that Bayley's a baddie now. That she's got to be more dominant and more forceful. And it's just furthering her storyline to have her show up and do things that you're not quite expecting from the hugger that she was.
Oh yeah, she's like the mugger now. She's definitely not the hugger.
Oh my god, we need to get little. There should be shirts with like her little, the little like whatever it was, like little Miss Sunshine's mm-hmm. happy face, but it should be a scowl and it should just have a shiv.
Yeah, and like a bandana, and or like a the stocking over the head or something like that.
Yeah. And just like a little shiv, and just like and just a frowny face.
And I do want to point out, because I know you said it was good that it wasn't, you know, this big brawl. It wasn't just this big pounding, but everybody loves a good pounding.
You guys know how to party.
That's all. By the way, Scarlett Bordeaux appearance on NXT this week.
Yes,
right.
A
already
little blip of Scarlett. Yeah. I know. Her hair looks great.
Little
they
blip.
Her hair.
Little blip of Scarlett goes a long way. So, little known fact, by the way, she's still pushing the Perfect 10 thing. We gave her that name on the old Greg DeMarco show back in the day. Like, we nicknamed her the Perfect 10.
Where's your 10%?
It doesn't work. You know how this business works. Come on now.
I'm trying to change that. That's
I appreciate
why
it. But
I'm here to make everyone pay up and, you know, get their cut.
Good luck with
vote
that.
Vote for
you
me.
You guys know how to party.
Vote for me for wrestling president. Everyone will get their 10%.
Everyone will get their 10%. We all know better than that.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
So I did want to shift gears a little bit into something that recently happened that I actually think does have some impact on one or both of these brands. And I think, well, the music should clue everybody in. Of course, that music and reaction is about the appearance on WWE Backstage of former multi-time WWE champion and still one of the most talked about and sought after performers by the online wrestling fan base, CM Punk. Even though this show isn't really about that, and we will connect those dots here in a second, just the music alone elicited quite the reaction from you. So let's start there. What's going on? What's going on when you hear that and you think about his return?
He's forever ruined that song for me. I love that song so much.
Why can't I hear it? I've heard that from multiple people on Pot is War. Andrew Belez is so upset because that song is ruined. Why is that song ruined just because he used it?
I am 30. And when I'm dead and gone, there will still be people in the audiences chanting CM Punk.
Yes,
when he's dead and gone, there will still be people in the audience chanting CM Punk, hoping that he'll show up from the fucking grave. And I get it. He was very talented. He is very talented. Mic skills, wrestling, yada yada, talented. He then left because he did not agree with things. He was very outspoken about his things. He moved on. He continued to bash and do things. He then used that to transition into other wrestling stuff, but then was like, F wrestling. And then he went into MMA. Didn't really work out. Went into other things. Didn't really work out. All this other stuff. And now he's back at this thing. And if you are a person, I'm just gonna side note, this is not about CM Punk, side note, if you are one of the people out there that is saying, oh, but he's not hired by WWE, he's hired by Fox, he is on a mother WWE show.
You don't have to censor yourself, by the way. I just want to point that out.
I know. He's on a motherfucking WWE show. if he is being hired by Fox, that just means that Vince McMahon was smart enough to make Fox pay for him so that he doesn't have to pay for him. Ta-da! Like, he's still on a wrestling show. I don't care how you split the hairs. He's still back with WWE for this moment. I don't know if he's going to be a permanent base thing or what. I will listen. I will enjoy. I will watch. I will learn. I will be infuriated just for the sheer fact that there was a slight chance in my life that I was going to have to never hear CM Punk chanted again and again and again. And now those hopes are dashed, and I will forever be haunted with hearing CM Punk and hearing people be like it's fucking Christmas. Like, they're like, I told you he'd come back one day. Like,
I guess that's part of the hard for me, because
it adds fuel for the fire. It adds fuel to the fire to the people who were like, I never gave up hope. I never gave up hope that one day he would come back for us.
And see, I'm not a never gave up hope person, but when he left, I said he'd come back. Like, and it was more he'll need it again. He'll need the money. He'll need whatever. I said he'd be back by WrestleMania 35. So I was wrong, sadly.
Maybe by a year.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So let's go there for a second. Because first of all, you're exactly right. WWE has to approve who's on backstage. Like, that's, and they put out a press release, and the press release basically reads like, yo, he's back. So yeah, he's being paid by Fox, whatever, that's great. As long as he doesn't get pissed off and blow up and leave. I think we all know, and maybe some are afraid to say, I guess we all feel where this is going eventually, even if they're not planning on it yet, and they may not be. They might be taking a wait-and-see approach. I think we all assume how this ends, or doesn't end, but how it goes. I think he ends up back in the ring. I think if he does wrestle, it'll be on SmackDown because of the link to Fox. The main difference between me and a lot of the other people is that I'm okay with it. It's been 5 years. It's been... You know, I really love the comments that he made when he made the StarCast appearance. Like, he basically said, you know what? Yeah, I was pissed, whatever. He's like, I got over it. And it's real hard for people to get over things in life and move on.
I will give him that.
Yeah,
like, that is a man thing to say, very much so. Few people in the wrestling business can say that.
He got over it, and now he's willing to move forward. And look, there's some great potential. Like, could you imagine the build to CM Punk versus Triple H at WrestleMania? I mean, my God. Like, that would just be so good.
See, that's the thing is, like, I don't like CM Punk for just the fact that he's been drilled into my head for 5 years that he hasn't been here. But I also like the possibility.
But he didn't do that. He did some of it. But for the last like 3 of those 5 years, he didn't do that.
No. And I'm not blaming him per se, but I'm blaming his cult-like followers. It's like never,
which is a strength, which is what performance, which is what performers want to build.
Right, he did it. It's great. You don't hear people still chanting John Cena or anything like that. Like, it's, you know, like, they chanted him for forever because he was the anti. Like, I mean, he played to every 13-year-old boy emotion that you had inside your body. No matter what age or gender or whatever you are, you have that inside you of that kind of, like, you know, anarchy. And so I don't like him, but I do like the possibility. So, like, I'm going to be interested to watch. I just, this whole thing of people being like, oh, he's not hired by the WWE. He's not going back to them. He's hired by Fox. It's like, okay, boomer, like, calm down. It's
okay, boomer.
He's...
Oh, man, I can't believe we had an okay, boomer on this show.
He's still working for the WWE. Like, give it up. Like, you know, like, anarchy is gone now. He's back. He's in a suit and tie. He's back. So he's working for WWE. Like, just give it up and enjoy. Just enjoy it. Because that's the one thing that's bothering me the most is the people that chant CM Punk were chanting CM Punk to go against WWE. And now that he's back, they're like, well, he's not actually working for WWE.
It's yeah, he's got to make themselves feel better about it. He's there. And he made the choice to go there. And first of all, so I saw this, I think it was on Instagram today. I can't remember, but I think it was somebody sharing a tweet. I don't know. When you go to social media hiding, these things all run together and you realize you don't need it anymore anyway. There was a great post that I saw that was like, you know, it said the Gen Xers being completely ignored in this battle between the millennials and the boomers is the most Gen X thing to happen to Gen Xers since we became Gen Xers. So I love it. I just love it.
But you dropping a millennial, so
you drop an okay boomer on that was just so perfect. So perfect. Yeah. I'm on the line, like right on the line between Gen Xer and millennial, so I'm fine with it. Fine with it. So but the reason why I bring this topic up, not just to get the visceral reaction and talk about that part, but it does kind of have an impact on this because that means he's not going to AEW. That possibility truly is out the window now.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't talk about that possibility unless he gets pissed off at Fox or whatever, but he chose not to go there. And now there's reports that are coming out, and of course, we don't know if we can believe them or not. You know, maybe those reports are true. Maybe they are.
Bullshit! Shut your dumb mouth.
But if you believe the reports that he actually did meet with Tony Khan, they offered him a lot of money, turned it down, then that says a lot. Like, he didn't want to be part of that group for some reason. Whether it is he didn't want to go into the hole because they're so anti-WWE, and he's gotten over it and is encouraging people to get over it too. Maybe he really does have some connection to WWE and wants to kind of finish, you know, maybe feels like he has some red in his ledger to take a page out of what's her name, Black Widow. Who knows? But he chose, and he probably could have gone to AEW and probably could have made a lot more money than he's getting from this because he's not even a weekly contributor on Backstage. He's a regular contributor. I don't know why I'm doing air quotes. Let me can fucking see them. But he's going
to
be on
the
show.
Join our Patreon to see the
air quotes. Yes, join our Patreon, which I just did in air quotes as well.
To see the air quotes.
Just to see the video. Actually, it is a video. It's not being recorded. Which is good, because last week we would have had to censor your nightgown. But it would have been... But with CM Punk, like he just made a choice not to go there. He had the opportunity, and he made a choice to go here, which could open the door for a return to WWE. What does that do or say or mean for AEW?
If the reports are true, you know, he met with, which the thing is like, why wouldn't he, or why wouldn't they reach out to him? I mean, that would be,
oh yeah,
for a company that is one trying to poach and or like scavenge the talent that has been or is at WWE to build their roster. CM Punk would be the first, if it was me, CM Punk would be the first target because that is money. That is instant money. And that is instant viewership because wherever he goes, the people that are in the crowd chanting CM Punk are going to go. And
oh, yeah.
There's a lot of them. And so I have no doubt that they reached out to him at any point. But I think it's one of those things of you're right. He's somehow magically in his mind and in his adulthood done a personal self-reflection 12-step program to forgive and forget for WWE. And I think he's trying to get a lot of people to do that as well, because that's the thing is there are a lot of ex-wrestlers, retired wrestlers, I should say. You're never an ex-wrestler.
No.
Retired wrestlers, you know, or people who have worked for the WWE that are bitter and that are openly bitter about such things. And just, you can be bitter. I mean, WWE has done some, Vince McMahon himself has done some very shady shit.
Oh yeah.
They have really, you know, hurt some people financially, mentally, emotionally, physically in many ways. And but for you to hold on to such a grudge doesn't do anything to them. It only does something to you emotionally and inside. Like, that grudge only eats at you, because Vince McMahon ain't losing sleep over you not liking him. You know, WWE's not losing things over you saying things or not liking them. So yeah, it's, I think it is a very adult thing to forgive and move on and be the bigger man in this. And kudos to him for not only being the bigger man in this, but also then turning around and being like, I'm going to be the bigger man of this, and I'm going to take your money.
Yeah, and go to WWE and not go to AEW, which would have been kind of the obvious thing to do, and the thing that most people, I think, would have assumed before any rumors of WWE backstage and him being a part of that process. Everyone just would have assumed AEW was going to be the landing spot, because honestly, everyone assumes AEW is the landing spot for everybody. So,
oh, it is. Everybody's like, oh man, so-and-so's going to go to AEW. I'm like, their contract's not even up for like another 5 years. They're like, don't care, going to AEW next week. I'm like, okay.
Right. Sin Cara just signed a 3-year deal and then all of a sudden asked for his release. Like, what?
Yeah. They're like, makes no sense. AEW. But it's also one of those things, if I don't think AEW could give CM Punk right now what he wants, because as much as people are anticipating an in-ring return, I think right now he just wants to dip his toes in the water of broadcasting and media and stuff like that. And honestly, AEW's team is full, but it's not full. Believe me. I mean, I would really like more interviews not done by Tony Schiavone. And I'd like more vignettes and all that kind of stuff. But,
but it's a fresh, new, exciting product with Tony Schiavone and Jim Ross.
Yes. So fresh. So new. Excalibur choking out Jimmy Havoc in the back. We're wonderful.
he's just doing his best Joey Styles. That's all.
Doing his best. But I don't think they would have. They offered him that. I think they probably, Khan and them probably offered him a wrestling spot, and he's not ready to get back into being a full-blown wrestler at the moment. I think he really is wanting to be a journalist and hashtag journalism and being an analysis when it comes to that, because that's the way for him to kind of ease back into this, you know, road life and travel life and work life.
And I think he knows how the story ends. I really do. I think he believes he's going to be back, but I just think he wants to ease into it. And I think that's fine. I think sometimes that's the better way to. Sometimes you got to rip the Band-Aid off. Sometimes you got to dive in head first, and other times you got to ease in, and you got to know when to do that. And I feel like he's making the right decision here. Time will tell. Who knows? What we do know is that he's not showing up in AEW anytime soon. What we also know is he's not showing up at Survivor Series. I know it's in Chicago. All Out was in Chicago. And he was there because he did the weekend stuff with StarCast. And he still didn't show up at All Out. And he's still not going to show up at Survivor Series just because it's in Chicago. So get that out of your brains right now, those of you who are still thinking that. Just let him appear on Tuesday on Backstage and take it from there. Here's the thing. Here's a question I have for you. Did you find out about CM Punk's return on WWE Backstage because you happened to be sitting there watching WWE Backstage on FS1?
No. I would love to say yes, but no. Because Tuesday nights at 11 p.m., I'm either sleeping or coordinating an event. So right. I'm not home. I don't even rewatch it at any point. Honestly, I catch highlights or like I'll watch a little bit of video clips or whatever. But yeah, of course I found out like most people via Twitter and the social media social media wars now too. Social media wars. But I didn't find out until the next morning because I worked and then I came home and did not look at social media, went to bed, woke up the next morning to a bunch of text messages from people being right. like, and all the text messages read was, and literally from like several people, the same exact text message was, so CM Punk's back, and that's it. That's all it said.
Yep.
And it was like seven text messages in a row that said the exact same thing. And I was like, no, because it didn't say in what capacity also. So instantly I thought, oh God, he showed up to Smack. Oh God. And all I could think, all I could hear in my head the whole time was just CM Punk chants over and over again. And I was like, I'm going to die.
And we'll get him. Stop. We'll get him at Survivor Series. We'll get him over that weekend at some point. That's fine.
If anything, I say he will be there. I don't think he'll be at Survivor Series. I think if anything, he's going to be with like Renee or like the whole Bump TV show of like doing some backstage stuff. Like I think he's going to be.
It'd be great if he was like kind of randomly on the watch along that they do. Like CM Punk just shows up for the
watch
along.
I love that watch along. They should do a. I really hope. I'm not entirely sure because they only promote it like either the day of or the day before that they're
just kind of throw it together.
But I hope they do a watch along for NXT War Games. Really hope they do. Or and if they don't, whatever. I'll do one. I'll do a video, and then all of you can just time in. Yeah, Maurice, our meerkat, can show up. Judge all of you. This will be on our Patreon.
Fucking Maurice, man. Oh, goodness. A good little meerkat.
He's such a judgmental little bastard. Don't judge me.
But I think you're right. First of all, they should do a watch-along for TakeOver. They should do a watch-along for Survivor Series. They should do a watch-along for Raw. They should do a watch-along for SmackDown. Any opportunity for more
AEW
Kayla Braxton.
Have a watch-along.
Yes. Any opportunity for more Kayla Braxton, sign my white ass up. Like, that's all I can say. Like, sign me up for more Kayla Braxton. Like Kayla, and more Kayla.
This is my yard now.
Yeah, I mean, more Kayla all the time. I agree. But also, sometimes the watch-along is more entertaining than what's happening, like, in the thing.
Yeah.
Because during the commercials and, like, during, like, the little breaks, I will tell you, like, they are so entertaining. Like, sometimes there's, like, food back there, and they like, make these weird, like, food things, like they made, like they had these ice cream, like Cookie Monster things that they were making at one point. I mean, they have dance offs. They like have all these weird little things that just happen that you would not expect, and it's great to see also a group of people that don't necessarily always interact with each other. Like you have some wrestlers from all different brands. You have some of the referees, like John Combe comes in a lot. He's hilarious.
He's Nicholas's dad, right? He's the one that's Nicholas's dad.
I think so. Not entirely sure about that, but he is hilarious. And also just to have the different wrestlers interact with each other, like it's so great. And some of them are just normal. Some of them are in character the whole time. So like that's even better. It's you know, I love the watch alongs. More watch alongs, please.
Yeah, more watch alongs. More Matt Riddle on the watch alongs, because that's just too damn hilarious. You know,
he just wants to fight everybody.
He does. He does. And you know, I mean, if we're campaigning, you know, more Kayla Braxton. That's all. Here's the funny thing. Like, I'm not.
I want Velveteen Dream on a watch along.
That would be really funny. That would be. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that.
I want him to be King of the Ring.
Yes.
He's like if Prince and Rick Rude had a baby.
That's a great way to describe him. Like, the Prince comparison has been around for since he's been around, since Velveteen Dream's been around, but Rick Rude is a great person to add on there. Like, I'm definitely 100% on board with it. So
that's instantly what I saw is Rick Rude. Prince and Rick Rude had a baby.
If Prince and Rick Rude had a baby, his name would be Velveteen Dream. All right, so that kind of wraps things up for another week of the Wednesday Night Wars. as we kind of branch off into a million different topics and everything that we talk about. So it's lots of fun. Two great shows this week, in my opinion. The shows, have, outside of like one kind of clunky episode of Dynamite, the shows have really been good, and we're really lucky to get to watch this stuff every single week. And AEW had a you know, for their first like pay-per-view effort of the TV era, they did fine, I think is the way to say. You know, they just, I can't fault them for what they did. Yeah, people might think it's a drop-off, whatever, but still, they're delivering and they're learning and they're growing and they are doing those things. Now we're full steam ahead towards a double pay-per-view, basically, for NXT, which is just crazy to put on that brand, and they're handling it so well. And I think it's this feud between the brands is elevating NXT and putting that brand in a great position as well. So it's all good things right now, like literally all good things. So give the people the info. Let them know where they can find all things Brittany Nicole.
You can find all things Brittany Nicole at Look It's Brittany. Also, that's my website, www.lookitsbrittany.com. And yeah, all on social media platforms, everything. You can also check out my wrestling promotion, Elevate Pro. Here, its home base is here in Louisiana, in New Orleans. And we are going to start kicking off shows in 2020. And we're actually going to Tampa for Mania Week.
Of course,
we're doing a show. We're doing a show out in Tampa with GCW and showcasing a 2-hour Elevate Pro show there for Mania Week and bringing you a little New Orleans flavor to your Mania lineup.
And let's be honest, like based on their rotation, WrestleMania will be back there soon enough. So in New Orleans, so
exactly. I mean, look. He makes money when he comes to New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, to me,
money.
39 or 40 is going to be there. That's what I think is going to happen. I think 37 is going to be out west, probably L.A. In their new stadium, maybe Vegas, but probably L.A. And then, you know, 38 probably could even be there, but, I mean, they did 30 and 34 there, so it could be 38 there as well. Who knows? But before, they'll get there by 40, if not sooner. That just, yes. It's just, they do too well.
Come back. Everyone should do shows in New Orleans. I'm just saying.
It's
like,
literally,
it's
on my bucket list. They will. They'll go to the Dunkin' Donuts Arena, Smoothie King Arena, whatever it's called.
Smoothie King Center, and then we have the Superdome. It depends on what they sell out.
I don't think they're going to the Superdome. I don't think they're going to the Superdome. And they can probably go to one of the college arenas as well. But no, it's funny because the New Orleans WrestleMania is on the bucket list. I've already done WrestleMania, but the New Orleans WrestleMania is on the bucket list. Miranda and I have already committed. If it happens, we will be there. So
you better.
We promised you that already as well. So we did. Yeah, go find all things at Look It's Brittany. All her social media is one thing, so it's easy to find.
You're welcome.
You can find
Where
me.
Where can they find you?
I mean, they're going to find my account. They may not find me. I do jump on there. I jump on at night on occasion, but sometimes I don't
when
jump
you're not
on.
Sleeping.
Really? Really?
This is why we're doing this show on Friday, guys. Someone fell asleep.
That's true.
Again.
Yeah, he did. I don't even think like we were gonna have to start the show later on Thursday, and I don't even think I would have made that one. So yeah, it was just you know, I've been working hard. I've been
working out.
I worked my butt off. So I got a haircut today. This is a little side story, right? Same person cuts my hair all the time, and I sat down.
Nice.
Thank you. I sat down, and she goes to cut my hair, and there's the clippers, and she stops. She pulls away. She goes, "This is the weirdest question I've ever been asked. What happened to your beard?" And I was like, what do you mean what happened to your beard? She was like, oh, either your beard got bigger or your face got smaller. I was like, pretty sure it's the second one. I'm just going to go with the second one. Like I was like, since you last saw me, I've lost like 20, 25 pounds. Yeah, she definitely was like, oh, well, okay. And then I'm back to cutting my hair. But yeah, it was just like the most random, like you get compliments in the weirdest places sometimes. And that was just one that took me by surprise. So
aww.
I was like, it's probably the latter.
You're looking great. You're working really hard. You really are.
I am. People know, we've talked about it on the Miranda Show. She and I are also accountability buddies. That's kind of what really fostered the close-knit friendship that we have. And both of us, I mean, she's made amazing strides as well. And we ain't stopping. We ain't stopping, so that's for sure. You can find me on the social media at ChairShotGreg. Of course, you can find the website is thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
The website is at thechairshot.com on social media. Go to thechairshot.com for all your hard-hitting wrestling views, opinions, analysis, podcasts, articles, coverage, we got it. If you want news, we don't hardly have that because we know the news is bullshit, but we have everything else. And you know, we definitely encourage you to go there and listen to all the great podcasts. By the way, just a quick shout out, you can go to at the Wrestle Hub on Twitter and vote in the Wrestling Podcast Awards. We do have several of those up for an award. This show, not one of them, but this show was pretty much not existing when those awards came out and people were nominating for them. And by the way, I say this on every show until sometime I find out who did it. Thank you to whoever nominated us for these things, because I don't know who did. I didn't even know we were up for these awards until I was listening to Pod Is War, and they were talking about it, and they kind of rambled off all the shows that we have nominated. But the aforementioned Pod Is War, with PC Tunney, Christopher Platt, and Andrew Belaz, was nominated for Trio of the Year. The Badlands podcast, which we recently acquired, was also nominated for Trio of the Year. They weren't with us when they were, but they are with us now, since their old network kind of went, so they needed a home, and they got one here at thechairshot.com. That's a technical term, by the way, in the industry. That's a technical term. The Greg DeMarco Show was nominated for Best Comedy Podcast. That was interesting to me. Like, we're a comedy now. But I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. And of course, you know, for you, I saved it for last. But hashtag Miranda Show was nominated for Best Newcomer Podcast. And so, super excited about that. And the overall, I do too. And the overall brand, thechairshot.com, was nominated for Best Brand. And so, yeah, go out there, go to at the Wrestle Hub. It's their pinned tweet on Twitter, at the Wrestle Hub. They don't have a website or anything like that. So you click on it, goes to a Google Doc. You can vote in all the different categories. There's like 10 different categories, and there's a ton of shows and things nominated in each category. But we're in Best Trio, Best Newcomer, Best Comedy, and of course the overall brand. So go out there, check it out, support your favorite shows, and show us that love. And to show you some love, everyone knows by now that I, you know, had a little Facebook post a week ago right now, and got lots of comments, and including one from you. And so, you know, I just want to thank you for that. You know, we have not been doing this very long and haven't been working together very long. And so that show support's really appreciated. I love you for it. Aww. And thank you for saying what you said, both there and privately, and yeah, it's just much appreciated. You know, we take this life one day at a time, so.
We do, yes, and everybody, go vote in many things, vote in everything in life. We actually have, in Louisiana, here in New Orleans, we have elections tomorrow, so I will also be voting on that,
very cool,
as well as voting for other things, but yeah, and then moving on to your post, yeah, I mean, it's all is meant. It's all very heartfelt, and I'm really excited that we finally got to start doing this podcast and together, and that I was on the Greg DeMarco Show, and that I was on the hashtag Miranda Show, and that I've kind of been able to accumulate you and Miranda and have you guys in my life too, because that helps me as well in my life, because, you know, it's the people you know that keep you going, and sometimes we get so lost and bogged down in the social media world and the everyday life and the grind and stuff like that, that you forget to look up and see that you have people around you.
Real people. Humans.
Yeah,
not
real people.
Not digital people.
I am not a robot.
No. They could never build a robot that was like you. Yeah, and like, you know, that's funny because you talk about the whole social media thing. On November 1st, I deleted Facebook and Twitter from my phone. Just for a day, I was like, I'm going to go a day without going on these. And like 5 minutes later, I went on him and was like, okay, so how can I avoid that? So I just deleted him off my phone. And it was a one-day thing on November 1st. And today's November 15th. It's been 15 days, and I haven't put him back on yet. I'm sure I will at some point. I log on. I'll do some things. But, and here's the funny part. I'll log on. I'll do what I need to do. And then I'll log off. It's crazy. Yeah. Log on, log off. Log in, log out. It's a two-step process. You know?
Whoa.
You know, you're not done until you've logged out. That's how I look at it. And it's been great, and I haven't needed it. I also then later went into Facebook Messenger and turned off notifications for it. So nothing pops up on my phone when I get a message for Facebook Messenger, because it's a separate program. So even though I deleted Facebook, yep, I can still connect with people on Messenger. Those who only message me via Twitter DM, now they're like, oh, I messaged you like 3 days ago, and I'm like, oops. I tell them, I'm like, here's my phone number, text me. Because it's just not worth it. And yeah, there was no goal behind it. There was no, hey, I'm going to do this, or there's nothing that caused it. I was just like, I wanted a day break, and it just kept going from there. I'm going to write about it at some point, I think. But yeah, it's just been one of those things. But that's the world that we live in, and it's been a good lesson in the fact that I think we need it, and we really don't. Mm-hmm. You know, we can have it, we can want it, but when non-essential things become needs, that's an addiction. And yep, that's, you know, and so more was just to do it, and it's just kind of been going along. Like I said, I doubt it's forever, especially when I hit, you know, and I'm approaching February and got a wrestling show to promote for Impact Zone Wrestling, IZW, but and maybe even then. I mean, Facebook's great. You can go in there, you can set your posts, you can schedule them a whole week's worth if you want to, and then let them do their thing. So it's really, yeah. It's really
right. You can use other apps. Like I use like Hootsuite and stuff like that, or Buffer to program days out for my personal pages, and then also for the Elevate Pro pages. And so like those all post, and I don't have to open my apps. Like I don't have to do any of that. And it's really nice.
Yeah. I have Buffer. Really nice. I use Buffer for thechairshot.com. And that's why some people are like, well, you're still posting stuff for the website. And I'm like, that's not me. We secretly call that robot. Yeah. We actually call that the chairbot. That's what we call the Chairshot chairbot is the one that's posting all those things on social media. It's not really me. And, but I use it for that. I'm probably going to set up another one for Impact Zone Wrestling as well, because I'm pretty well versed with Buffer at this point. And I have it to where literally when we publish something on the Chair Shot, it automatically feeds into Buffer and then automatically goes out to all the social media. Like it's great. It took me forever to figure it out, and all these different tutorials and two different services you got to use, but it's worth it. It's worth every little bit, worth every little penny. It doesn't make a difference. There's no price tag on mental clarity, I guess, is the best way to put it. So, and then you get human interaction. Like since doing that, you know, Patrick O'Dowd is someone who's been a best friend of mine for 16 years. I talk to him more now than in Facebook comments. Miranda and I joked on Tuesday, I don't think I could talk to her more than I already do. So that's, just the same. Whenever we log off on Tuesday, I'm like, I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. And we do. And so it's just, you know, it's all about those interactions and those human beings. And that's what we kind of lose sight of, especially in wrestling, because it's a fantasy world. And yes, it's wrestling,
very opinionated a world, is, especially on Twitter. Like it's one of those things that like, it seems like people try to say the most radical thing or try to call out the most radical thing just to get clout and just to kind of push, like see how many retweets they can get and see how much, you know, outrage they can get, you know.
And I would do that too. And I would get caught up in that. Sometimes on accident, I'd post something not thinking it was going to get that. But then when it does, I'm all about it. And it's, I think when I do go back, it's going to be more about the authenticity behind things and just being real, which I've always tried to do, but I've tried to use it. And I don't think I'll try to use it anymore. I think I'll just let it be what it is and enjoy it for what it is. So, but I don't have a plan around it. I literally got a message from somebody the other day. They were like, I tweeted at you 3 days ago and you didn't reply. And I'm just like, I didn't see it. And people are just dumbfounded. Like, how can you not see your notifications? And I'm like, you can not see them by not looking at them. That's a really easy way to do it. But six months ago.
It really is a moment. It is a zen. It is a moment.
It is.
People, this is your moment of zen. If you're feeling like depressed, stress, anxiety, run down, like just any kind of emotions like that, honestly, 9 times out of 10, a lot of it has to do with your social media usage.
It really does.
You know, because you're constant checking, your constant usage of it. And just even watching other people's lives and feeling bad about your own, thinking that their life is so much better than yours, especially if you're in the wrestling world or a worker or anything, and watching all these other people get signed or get these, you know, this and that, and you've worked with them or you've been trained with them or you brought up with them, like, it really affects people's mental states when they see other people succeed and they say like, oh, I'm happy for them, but a lot of times they're really like, it really does take a toll, and you can't just constantly watch other people's lives and not live your own.
Yeah, and I mean, you have a background in the world of psychology way more than any of us do. Like, there's got to be something behind that, like something real and scientific behind what you're talking about. And I can't speak to the science behind it, but I can speak to what I've experienced. And I didn't even really have a reason other than I thought it was too distracting and wanted to break from it. And I think I liked that break a little too much. And so now it's just continuing. And it's been, and that's the crazy thing. People are like, you still don't have him back on your phone. And I'm like, yeah, and guess what? I'm fine. That's the best part about it for me. And yeah, it's going to be another chapter in my book that I plan to write. So, and I'll have time to, because I won't be on social media all day. So,
right. You'll be able to do something else other than like refreshing your Twitter feed over and over again to see what's going on.
So, I was muted. Nobody heard what I was saying.
I was like, for a second, I was like, oh, maybe I didn't hear anything that you said, but, you know.
You didn't. Nobody fine. Did. But no, all I was saying was it's a little bonus content for you this week on the Wednesday Night Wars. And I like when we do the bonus content on all the various shows, because people sometimes forget that there's an actual person behind what you're listening to and what you're reading and what you're watching. Even people like Dave Meltzer. Like, here's the crazy thing about Dave Meltzer. As much as we love to hate Dave Meltzer, He's a human being. And I think, you know, the Jordan Miles situation should teach people a lot, because now it's coming out that there may be some mental health issues that were going on with him and that are behind some of this. And it's like, people are hating on the guy, and now it's like, oh, well, maybe there's something else there. And it's you know, it's just so easy to assume one thing and really something is
it's one of those things of like, yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like, I mean, it's a lot of different people. I mean, like, we're all humans. We all deal. And honestly, like, people who go into the entertainment business, whether it be media, wrestling, acting, entertaining, or whatnot, will have more anxieties and, you know, mental illnesses to combat because of their constant spotlight. Travel, you know, people, all that kind of thing. So, like, we are all more prone to panic attacks and anxiety disorders and that kind of stuff from just being on the constant go, 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 and being thrust into people's opinions and being objectified in multiple ways of that kind of stuff. And yeah, I mean, the whole Jordan Miles thing should be a big thing. Dave Meltzer, I've worked with him. I don't agree with a lot of things that he said, but whenever I've worked with him, he's treated me as a human. And as much as there's so many things that I'm just like, why would you ever say those things? He does. Mm-hmm. He has a life. He is a human being. He's flesh and blood. Like he has a family. He has, you know, he has a life that he lives, and he's, you know, you can't hate him for that kind of stuff, you know? So yeah, it's, you can disagree with what he says, but remember also at the end of the day, like, it's like that one guy who wanted Orange Cassidy to kill himself.
Yeah. Like, no,
like, you know, how, like, why would you say that? Like, you know, like, he should just, you know, I would, or saying that, like, I would do it for him. Like, you know, I'd kick the chair out from underneath him, you know? And, like, it's just like, that's still a human being.
Playing, you know, a character. Like, yeah, it's just, yeah, crazy. But this, and that's the thing about wrestling and entertainment. It really is a world of selection and rejection. And you either get picked, mm-hmm, or you don't. Even with, like, a website, right? Either people are reading your stuff or they're not. And it's still a selection or rejection. They either picked you, mm-hmm, or they didn't. And I think that's just, it's a lot to deal with for people. And I think that kind of plays into a lot of things for people. And I think that's a big part of what Jordan Miles is going through, because everywhere he's gone, he's never been the guy. And I think he wants to be the guy. And mm-hmm, you couple that with some mental health issues and you get what we've gotten from him recently. And, you know, and it's tough because everyone's like, where's he going to go next? And I'm like, well, just because he says he quit WWE doesn't mean he can go somewhere else. Like, it doesn't work like that. Contracts, yeah, no, are real things.
Not, yeah, so it's not like, well, I'm just going to go this way. Like, that's, yeah, not how,
doesn't work,
that's
like
not
that,
how it works, especially when you're playing with the big boys. Like,
not only that, but, like, why would you take him at this point? Like, no offense to him, but if he's willing to do it to them, he's willing to do it to AEW. He's already buried Ring of Honor. Like, anywhere he goes, he's a liability now. And it's,
yeah,
something he's got to combat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. It's liability for sure is definitely, you know, and that's the thing too, is like, also people do these, you know, kind of things, like, you know, he could just out, like, lash out on another company just to get attention, like, yeah, you know, that could be his next thing, that could be, you know, it all depends on the scenario or who's doing it and what they're looking for. And, like, you know, it, again, like, it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to seek help when you need it for anything and everything, because, again, we have also had way too many people in the wrestling business that abuse drugs and alcohol and stuff in order to cope with certain things, not just pain. And then you've had several suicides, most recent, and, you know, not too far away from this. I mean, Ashley was, what, not even over a year ago?
No, not even. She was this year, she 2019. Was,
yeah, yeah. And so it's one of those things of, like, you know, you're allowed to, you can be a big, strong, strapping man or woman or any gender or non-gender in the ring, but you know, you're still human, so you're, yeah, okay to be able to have breakdowns. And that's my... And also, you know, if you need someone to talk to, even if you don't know me, sometimes it's better to talk to a complete stranger than it is, mm-hmm, to talk to somebody who knows you.
It's kind of what counseling, like, is.
You can always hit me up. I will do my best to counsel, free of charge, obviously. I'll get my 10% later.
Get your 10% later.
but, you know, you can always hit me up. Look, it's Brittany. That's not a shame.
Right.
Fucking,
that's just the
plug.
Way to find it.
That's just the way to find me.
Yeah. Sometimes those things are real too. So.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Well, enough of that.
This
we'll
has been
fun.
Your moment of zen.
Yeah, this has been a lot of moments of zen.
with Greg and Britton.
It's a new show. Once the wars are over, it'll just be like moments of zen.
With this in the background.
Like, I mean, it's Friday night. We don't have a limit. Well, my friends, the time has come. Time has come, though.
Mm-hmm. Raise the roof and
have some fun. He just said raise the roof.
He did.
He said
it's the most calming.
Was that the original raise the roof?
The roof? Let the music play on,
play on. This song was released in 1983. Everybody sing, everybody dance. Lose yourself in wild romance. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta. Come on and sing along. We're going to party, caramba, fiesta. Did you say Karabu? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Me neither. I could do Lionel Richie all day.
Love it. Yeah,
I have like the secret Lionel Richie fan. It's amazing. It never ends. He's one of the greatest performers in American history. I'll say it. I don't care. Don't at me. Actually, you know what? At me. Don't care. I won't see it. Ha! Joke's on you, Twitter loser.
Okay, boomer.
Yeah. Can't even use that on me. My mom was a boomer, not me.
I know you're not a boomer. I'm saying you could say that to the boomer. Like, that's okay. At me. Don't care.
Yeah, right. At me, boomer. Or millennial. Or Gen Xer. I don't care who you are. Oh, my goodness. Too much fun. Human or alien. Fuck, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what you are.
You have to add aliens because Chris Stratler's in there somewhere. Stratlander.
Yes. Somewhere. She's an alien from what I understand.
She is.
So. All right. Hope you guys have had fun. I hope you've had as much fun as we have. But if you haven't, it doesn't matter because we did. And that's all
that
matters.
We had a blast.
We will do it again next week. Maybe Thursday. Maybe Friday.
Maybe Friday. Probably I don't know. Thursday. I like these Fridays. This is pretty cool.
I think I'm free. Yeah, I'm not free. Oh, my God. If Miranda listens to this show, she's going to kill me for saying I'm free next Friday. Yeah, that would be bad.
Oh, Miranda, did you hear that? He's free next Friday.
No, he's not. I'm in so much trouble now. Because I know you're going to message her and be like, you need to listen to the show, fast forward to the end, or just listen to the whole thing.
How did you know? I'll be like, right after the Lionel Richie part, just listen.
Which Lionel Richie part?
The last, right? Oh, God.
There's about four or five. Oh, my goodness. All right.
The title for this show, Wednesday Night Wars, and then...
All Night Long.
: All Night Long. What is it? All Night Long, All Out. Lionel Richie.
Oh, Lionel Richie. The Lionel Richie Show. All right. That's it. We'll see you guys next week, or we'll hear you guys, or whatever, because we're not on Patreon yet, on the Wednesday Night Wars. Goodbye. Yet.